From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we're going to launch our 23rd year next week or the week after. So it's been, it seems like it's only been a year or two, but it's been a labor of love. And we appreciate everybody who has contributed along the way. Bishop Wiegand for having the idea, and Bishop Soto for really advancing the idea and supporting us in so many ways, and all the wonderful underwriters, all the wonderful guests we've had, and of course you, the listeners, who have supported us along the way. So it's been a real labor of love for all of us, and we appreciate all of that. And we're thrilled now to welcome in Father Matthew Spencer. There will be a wonderful Men's Day of Faith Renewal October the 16th at St. Mel's Parish in Fair Oaks. And Father Spencer will be there. Father, a good day to you.
Hi, Bob. Thank you. Congratulations. What an exciting milestone. 23 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, mind-boggling to me.
How the time flies, yeah.
It really does. I remember sitting in this room with Father Sylvester McDermott, the late Father Sylvester McDermott, and he was charmed with the idea of having the diocese having its own radio show, you know, and he was such a supporter. And Monsignor James Murphy, who has such a background, you know, in journalism and the media, and was a big supporter, and still is. And it's been a real wonderful ride. So, and getting to talk to wonderful guests all the time, you know, it's just every day is like a new inspiration. You know, somebody will say something that I go, boy, I hadn't thought of that, or I hadn't thought of it that way, or you know, just the Lord's always opening doors.
Yeah, that's great. What a blessing for you, but also for all of us, for all the people of the Diocese of Sacramento. What a blessing it's been.
Yeah, well, thank you. And so tell us about the Men's Day of Faith Renewal.
Yes, I'm very excited, of course, Bob. I live in Santa Cruz, California these days, but for 9 years I lived in Loomis, and I loved the Diocese of Sacramento, and, you know, such an important part of my own priestly ministry, and someday I pray I'll get to return for that matter. But when a few years ago, actually, some of the organizers of the Men's Day of Faith Renewal at St. Mel Parish there got in touch with me, and they said, hey, we'd love to do something on St. Joseph. And this is an incredible event that happens yearly, and they always bring out a whole bunch of men to deepen their faith, to renew their relationship with the Lord. So when they approached me about it, I was honored and excited. And then of course, all of our lives were interrupted by the pandemic. We had to delay it. And so I'm really happy that now the circumstances are such that we'll be able to do it. So as you mentioned, we'll be gathering on Saturday, October 16th, and just basically trying to deepen our faith. And this year, because we're in the year of St. Joseph, our theme is all around living with courage, learning lessons for men from St. Joseph.
A man that they didn't spend a lot of time in the Bible on.
That's true, yeah. It's St. Joseph is one of the greatest saints, the greatest saint after Mary, says the church, and yet so humble, so hidden. And in some ways, it's the exact paradigm that men in today's world are called to live, to be the greatest saints possible, and yet to do that in a way that's not visible to the eyes of the world necessarily, but rather humble and hidden and silently active as St. Joseph was.
What do we know about St. Joseph?
Well, we certainly know that he was the earthly father of Jesus. He was the husband of Mary. We know that he was in the line of David, which is very important. You know, this is why the Gospels of Matthew and Luke have the genealogies, in order to make sure that it's clear that Jesus is in the line of King David to fulfill the prophecies. We know that Joseph was alive for the first few years of Jesus' life, at least until he was 12 years old, mm-hmm. when Jesus was lost in the temple,
right?
As St. Luke recounts in his gospel. After that, though, St. Joseph disappears practically from the gospel pictures. And we know that he's known. For example, in other parts of the gospel, Jesus is referred to as the son of Joseph. So even many years later, as an adult, Jesus is known as the son of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, not much is known. There are no recorded words of St. Joseph in the gospel. There's no great works of carpentry that are left that we can see that St. Joseph leaves us. But the greatest thing, of course, he leaves us is his witness to the faith in protecting the Holy Family, caring for Jesus, especially in his first years on earth, and of course now giving us such a good example.
Other than losing him in the temple.
Well, I wouldn't blame that on St. Joseph. It's one of those things that, I don't have any kids, but, you know, parents know that it's hard to keep track of your kids.
Oh, boy.
And through no fault of their own.
Wait, you'd be happy to find them in the temple. You know, it's funny because, boy, you're so right. You know, you're standing in line for a hot dog or to buy a ticket or something at the theater, and you got a 3-year-old on one side and a 4-year-old on the other side, and you look down and where'd he go? You know, they were just there, you know, and there's that moment of just panic. And can you imagine Joseph and Mary going, we've been entrusted with the Son of God and we lost him.
I know the horror, and for 3 days, Bob. For 3 days, I think I was lost maybe in Six Flags it was probably 3 seconds. It felt like 3 hours when I was a little child, but for 3 days, that's a whole different experience for the Holy Family.
So, what are you doing in Santa Cruz? But you're with the Oblates.
That's right. Yeah. So I was appointed provincial of the Oblates of St. Joseph in the United States. This was in 2019. So for the last 2.5 years, I've been organizing my religious community in the U.S. It's a lot of administrative things, a lot of leadership aspects, and it's a real blessing. You know, it's a real very different from the more common parish ministry of a priest, and yet so necessary to help support the pastors that we have and the parish priests around the country.
I know I always pronounce that. I always say oblates, and I don't know why. Oblates.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Either way.
So
just don't call us late for lunch, you know?
Ironically, you know, I always say that I heard it once, and I've it's always stuck with me. With God, there are no coincidences. Just last Monday previous, I drove my youngest daughter down to her freshman year at UC Santa Cruz.
And, no kidding.
And here you are.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, God bless your daughter. I hope she's able to come out here. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure she will. And I told her she could go to any school in California that was named after a Catholic saint. And by golly, she picked Santa Cruz.
Wonderful. Yeah.
It's funny. You think of Santa Cruz as Ferris wheels and merry-go-rounds and corn dogs and cotton candy, and it's named after a Catholic saint.
It is, yeah. Yeah, named after Holy Cross, right? I mean, after the greatest sacrifice we've ever seen here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're blessed, Bob, to have a Shrine of St. Joseph, actually just down the street from those Ferris wheels and roller coasters here where I live. And, this year of St. Joseph has been incredible to see all of the faithful, so many pilgrims who are trying to get to know a little bit more about St. Joseph during this year. And it's been really, really inspiring for me, I have to say.
Yeah, indeed. And the year of St. Joseph started on, December 8th, I believe?
December 8th, that's
and
right.
Runs and we'll through December 8th. And here in the Diocese of Sacramento, which you're not in right now, you're in the Diocese of Monterey, I believe.
The Diocese of Monterey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We have, I believe we have 11 or 12 parishes named St. Joseph's.
Mm.
It's a remarkable number.
incredible.
Some people are trying to make pilgrimages. I remember talking to Bishop Soto, and he said when he was in Orange County that they had a few duplications. He said Our Lady of Guadalupe was most prominent. Probably there were about three parishes named Our Lady of Guadalupe, and here we are in Sacramento, and we have like 11 or 12 named for St. Joseph, easily the most prominent.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, and it's really, to me, that's really representative of the faith that that I was formed and shaped by in the Diocese of Sacramento, you know, one that focused on the Holy Family, that focused on Mary and Joseph, and yeah, it's it just comes out in the people. All those parishes are named St. Joseph in large part because the people have a great devotion to St. Joseph.
Exactly. So what was your parish when you were growing up?
I went to a few different parishes. I was down in San Diego, actually, is where I grew up. So I went to Our Lady of the Angels and later to Blessed Sacrament in San Diego. And then my parents moved us up to the Central Valley. And that's where I got to know the Oblates of St. Joseph, was in Madera, California. We
have
a large parish. Yeah, St. Joachim Parish in the Diocese of Fresno.
Wow, and yeah, I've seen that parish. I haven't been in it, but I love that name, Joachim.
Yeah, the grandfather of Jesus,
right?
The mother of our Blessed Mother. Yeah, or I'm sorry, the father of our Blessed Mother.
I remember we had a next door neighbor when I grew up in Davis, and he was a professor of food technology, but olives were his specialty, and he was always going down to Madera. You know.
That does not surprise me at all. It's incredible the amount of produce and these days about the technology, you know, for cultivating the earth is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, they're now planting olives like about an inch apart and harvesting them by machine.
That's right.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So tell us if you've got time. I'd love to hear your vocation story.
I went to Chico State, actually, in the Diocese of Sacramento. There I studied software engineering and really was pursuing a career in technology and really interested in getting married and going having a big family, and I found my way to the Newman Center up there in Chico.
Yep.
and really that helped cultivate my faith quite a bit, but after a very short stint in the tech industry, I had a pretty successful career. This was in the early 2000s. I became very ill and had a bleed in my brain. Mm-hmm. Was in the hospital fighting for my life and realized that I wish I had done something more for the Lord. I wish I had done less for myself, less of what I thought would make me happy, and more for what God would make, more what would make God happy. So I started to recover. I had brain surgery and was left pretty affected by it. You know, a lot of weakness on the left side, and had to learn how to walk again and these kinds of things. And through that whole healing process, just realized I really need to explore my faith and look at a priestly and religious vocation. And I had known the Oblates of St. Joseph practically my whole life. And I just really felt attracted to our spirituality, to our charism, and to a love of St. Joseph. And so, I mean, that's partly why, Bob, I'm really excited to next month to share on my own understanding of St. Joseph and share with the men at this Men's Day of Faith Renewal my own love for St. Joseph, because he has had such an impact on my own life, helping me to live my vocation faithfully, helping me to know, you know, how to serve Jesus better.
So then I
was ordained in 2009, and I've served in a few dioceses since then.
So was there the one angel on the shoulder saying do it, and the other one saying, oh, you don't want to be a priest? Were they fighting back and forth?
It was a very difficult decision, that's for sure. And I wouldn't say it was this really, I don't know if it was angels there, it was my own conscience, you know, my own temptations of, on the one hand, wanting to serve the Lord in this way, on the other hand, really attracted to the things of the world, and not for necessarily evil reasons.
Yeah,
right? I mean, there's a lot of wonderful things in the world that we can pursue, but if they're not from God, then they're not going to lead us to authentic happiness. So, it took many years. It took a good 3 years for me to really wrestle with this and finally decide. And Bob, I have to be honest, you know, when I entered the seminary, it's not like I went in knowing where I was going to be in 20 years. I entered really thinking, well, I have to get this behind me. I have to at least give it a shot, because if I don't, I'll always wonder. But I didn't expect to last very long, but here I am, and I couldn't imagine life any other way, to be honest.
So what is your day-to-day life like in Santa Cruz?
My life is very interesting in the sense that there's all kinds of different responsibilities that I get to be involved in. So here in Santa Cruz, I'm the director of our Shrine of St. Joseph. We have a beautiful coffee shop for evangelization. We have daily confessions, daily mass here. We are just trying to support the faith of pilgrims coming through. So on the one hand, that takes up a lot of my time. On the other hand, my work extends far past Santa Cruz. I'm also supporting and encouraging our men all the way here in California, around the state, but also even back to Pennsylvania, where we have some communities. I'm organizing everybody. I'm doing a lot of administrative work in the sense of planning for the future and considering new assignments for men and things like this. And then on top of that, there are these different projects that I get to be involved in with managing, stewarding well what God has entrusted to us. So whether they're properties that need to be developed or buildings that need to be taken care of. So it's a very, very fun, interesting kind of place to be, Bob, because I get to do all the ministry stuff that attracted me to the priesthood on the first hand, but on the other hand, to really have to grow and stretch myself in areas where I never imagined myself, you know, managing a whole group of holy priests and working to manage development projects. It's all a little bit above my pay grade, Bob, but somebody's got to do it, you know, so here I am.
do you get to use that Chico State education?
I sure do, yeah. I still am involved in the technical aspects of our communications, of our website, and things like that. So it was definitely not for nothing that God had me go through that experience. I think mostly for human maturation, right? Mostly for my own human growth and preparing myself. But even those skills of computer work and technology have come in very handy over the years.
And so where do you see yourself, say, 10, 15, 20 years from now?
You'll have to ask the Lord about that one, but I have no idea. I let me say this. I don't have ambitions. I became a priest because I just love administering the sacraments, and I love helping people find peace and serenity in their lives, and that's oftentimes done in very simple, ordinary circumstances. If my terms as provincial, I'll be here for at least until next year, and if I'm reappointed, I'll be here for another 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. But after that, very likely, I'll be asked to go serve in a parish, to go be a pastor in one of our parishes, or to take on some other role to aid the provincial at that point. So,
and that could be anywhere in any diocese?
It could be. Yeah, it could be. It's it could be anywhere in the world, for that matter, although most likely it'd be in either California or Pennsylvania, where we have a strong presence here in the United States.
Wow. So a men's conference for St. Joseph, October 16th, the Day of Faith Renewal at St. Mel's in Fair Oaks. What do you talk about? What's the goal there?
This last 18 months has been, I think, challenging for all of us. To live through these pandemic circumstances has created a tremendous amount of stress for everybody, a tremendous amount of challenge for people. It's created fear for some. It's created frustration and anger for others. You know, a big part of what I want to explore is how can we be courageous when the world is so confusing and when the world is so so chaotic. And this is something I think St. Joseph is uniquely poised to help us understand, because he was trying to care for the Holy Family in the midst of also very confusing, chaotic times. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had Herod out for blood trying to kill the Christ child. And St. Joseph, how was he to keep his peace and tranquility when God was allowing, you know, such challenging circumstances? So a big part of what I want to do is explore what St. Joseph can tell us about living as men right here, right now, with all the messiness of the world that's around us. And I think St. Joseph has some wonderful examples from his life to help us learn from.
Yeah, by golly, you've hit it right on the head in terms of chaos. I was talking to somebody today about just the seeming deep divisions everywhere, but in our country especially, because this is where we live, you know, and that's what we pay more attention to, I guess. But all over, just seeing overnight, we had 15,000 Haitians coming into Texas, you know, and I'm going, I was just like, where did these people come from? Who are they? Why are they here? What motive, you know, and what's our responsibility, and what's more than responsibility? What's our duty? What should be our passion? You know, and I know there's all kinds of people have all kinds of opinions about that. And I'm not trying to take a stand here, but it just, that's one thing out of millions that's happening right now. And I look at those people and how desperate they must be to have undertaken this.
Yeah, I mean, the world is people are experiencing just devastating circumstances everywhere, and it's happening in society. It's happening in our nation. Mm-hmm. It's also happening within our church communities, within our parishes, within our own families. You know. Yep. And it feels like the evil one is maybe ripping us apart. And how do we make sure that we stay united? How do we make sure that we don't lose our focus? You know, that we don't get distracted by the many evils and ills of the world. And that's a tough one, Bob. Right? That's really hard, because it's easy to get caught up in the polemics of the world, in the all the evil that we see around us. We're just human beings, and we naturally get, really aggravated by these things, and how important it is for us to learn in faith how we're called to respond to such circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything seems to have, everybody wants a label, you know. Oh, that church, oh, they stand for this. I can't be with them. And that guy that sells hamburgers there on the corner, oh, he believes in this. And, you know, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like we have this whole long list of things that, you know, that we have to check off before we've decided this person's okay or something, and it's just, or this organization is okay, or, and it's just, besides being exhausting, it's very unproductive.
It is, yeah, it is. And I think a big part of our Christian life is recognizing the truth that we see in Jesus Christ, living that well, but then knowing how to share that in a peaceful, productive way in the world, you know, not falling into, as you point out, the judgmental, kind of critical, cynical attitude that we can have towards our neighbor and towards others. So the Holy Family, I think, is such an important antidote to that spirit that seems to run rampant in the world. And I hope that's what we'll be able to explore in part on October 16th.
Yeah, you know, everybody loves the Holy Family. I've never heard anybody go after the Holy Family. I really, you know, people, whether they're believers or not believers, everybody loves the Holy Family.
Yeah, that's a really important observation, I think, Bob. I mean, and it's partly, in my opinion, because of the humility, because mm-hmm. of the simplicity of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, right? I mean, their whole mission was focused on God the Father. It wasn't focused on you know, their own present condition. It wasn't focused on, well, social media and what's happening in the world, right?
Yeah.
Instead, they're focused on doing God's will at all times. And I think this is a challenge to do, but it's not out of the reach of us as followers of Christ.
Amen. Well, Father, it's such a joy to talk with you. If you see a young 18-year-old named Emmy walking into your chapel, know that's my daughter, and I know she'll be in good hands.
Great. Well, I look forward to meeting her. And if I don't see her, then I'll be calling back.
Okay.
Bob, I haven't seen Emmy.
All right. Please do. Please do.
Hey, thanks so much, Bob. It's a real pleasure to connect with you.
You too. Thanks, Father. Take care.
God bless you.
God bless you too. Thanks so much. That's Father Matthew Spencer, who will be the keynote at Men's Day of Faith Renewal, October 16th at St. Mel's, Living with Courage, Lessons for Men from St. Joseph. You can go to the St. Mel's website and learn all about it and how to sign up, et cetera. But circle that date, Saturday, October the 16th. And you can always, you know, if you ever have a question, you can always... maybe you didn't hear part of something, or you didn't get a phone number or a contact for somebody. We are part of the diocesan website, which is scd.org, Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org. You go to that website, and there will be a spot to hit for the Bishop's Hour, and our phone numbers, our emails are there, and we will certainly answer immediately any phone calls or emails and get back to you if you have a question. I don't know who to contact about the St. Mel's thing, or I don't know who to contact about this event I heard that's coming up, the Sacramento Life Center annual dinner or whatever, and we'll be happy to get back to you with all the information you need. So just go to scd.org and just hit the button for the Bishop's Hour. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Hi, this is Laura Lynn, Assistant Director for Lay Formation, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Laura Lynn, for that wonderful introduction, and thanks for all the great work you do here in the diocese, great and important work you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. This is from Deacon Kevin Staskow. All youth and young adult ministry leaders 18 and over are invited to participate in a 7-session online program. Runs from October through January of 2022 that will renew, refresh, and enhance your understanding of comprehensive youth ministry. Whether you are starting a new ministry or just improving the one you have, this process will help. Participants will join a diocesan cohort that will journey alongside them as they explore topics that will strengthen the foundation of their ministry. Our diocesan cohort schedules, you can view them at catholic.formstack.com/forms/first things. For more information, contact Anthony Ta, that's T-A. Anthony is at 916-733-0151 or ata@scd.org, or contact Alejandro Barraza at 916-733-0134, or send him an email at a Barraza, that's A-B-A-R-R-A-Z-A at scd.org. Should be a wonderful 7-part series throughout October, November, December, and January of next year. October, November, December of this year, of course. Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is sponsoring a number of open houses this coming weekend. October 2nd and 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can plan your funeral, mortuary, cremation, cemetery services. Reserve your private tour today. Call 707-644-5209 if you're in the Vallejo area. All Souls Cemetery and Funeral Center, 550 Glen Cove Road in Vallejo. They will be open. Appointments recommended, but walk-ins are welcome. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., October 2nd and 3rd. Also, October 2nd and 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., both St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center, 6509 Fruit Ridge Road here in Sacramento, or Calvary and Calvary Cemetery and Funeral Center, 7101 Verner Avenue, V-E-R-N-E-R, Verner Avenue here in Citrus Heights. You can call them, 916-452-4831 to learn more about it. And also, on October 2nd, just one day, at St. Joseph Cemetery in Woodland, that's at 860 West Street in Woodland, they will be open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then on Sunday, October 3rd, at Holy Cross Cemetery in Colusa, that's at 1741 Westcott Road in Colusa. The phone number, 530-438-4998.
We had Nicole Zamora on last week, I believe, I was talking about those. I find it interesting that it seems as if it's people are less afraid to talk about that. And she had said that's one of the biggest hurdles they had, was getting people to sort of openly talk about your funeral.
The elephant in the room.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it is. I mean, it's a weird thing that we all share, but no one really wants to talk about.
Yeah.
It's not.
I'm only 20. I don't need to think about that.
Right.
I'm only 95. I don't need to think about that.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. You know, you're unfortunately always just one accident away. You know,
yeah, it's one. Who knows what?
Yeah.
You read about it every day.
Yeah.
It's always somebody else, though.
Right. And that's the thing. It's always
somebody else.
Keep kicking that can down the road. Yeah. You know, that's somebody else. It wasn't me. That's unfortunate.
But I can tell you from experience, I've had both my parents die. I had a brother die. It really does matter, because it's everything is, I don't know what better word, everything's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even, if somebody's had a long-term disease, they haven't died yet.
Right.
And when they die, even though it was expected, it's unexpected. It's, yeah. I wasn't ready. I wasn't.
Well, and people sometimes don't want to, like, you don't want to be the one who brings it up if someone's in hospice care.
Sure, sure.
But at the same time, you don't want to be the one who doesn't, because you're afraid, like, if you bring it up, someone's going to be like, hey, whoa, what are you talking about? He might make it, you know. But then at the same time, you don't want to not bring it up, because it's like, hey, we should really get this figured out.
And yet I had a friend who was a fairly prominent person in the community and contracted a terminal illness, came to me, and he said, this is what I want. I want to have a memorial service, and this is who I want to speak. And this is how I want it to go. And if you can get the band from the university to come play the fight song, I'd like that too. You know, I'm just like, it all laid out. It wasn't troubling to him for somebody to bring it up. But you do, you feel like a little bit like, well, I should be encouraging them to fight on, you know.
Right.
And I dislike obituaries when I read lost a long battle with cancer or heart disease or whatever it is. Like, they didn't lose. We're all going to die.
Right.
They didn't lose. Right. Lose has such a negative connotation.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we all lost a long battle with life. It comes down to it. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look at all the great people throughout history, people from the American Revolution, people in the Civil War. None of them are around today. Not one of them made it through.
No.
You know, it's going to happen.
No, yeah. And it's funny how I love whenever they show the people who are like 100 to turn 103, 104. And like they ask them, like, what's the secret? And it's always different.
Yeah, it's like I smoked a cigar every day and drank scotch or something. You know, you hear that. And you go, if you hadn't, you'd live to 150.
I know. I love the ones who are like, don't put ice in your whiskey. That's the secret. Oh, yeah, like, you're 103. That's your secret.
Yeah. No, it's you never know. I mean, age is a strange thing. Where people are just, I also don't like, well, he's sharp as a tack. Well, of course he is. I mean, you know, unless something bad's happened, it's not like, you know, why wouldn't he be sharp as a tack?
Yeah, do you meet people's grandparents expecting them to be like barely cognizant?
Yeah.
It's
like,
yeah.
So,
it's interesting, but it's a good thing to go. And I think that they say that the biggest fear people have is death. There are some people, they say, that fear public speaking more, which obviously you've gotten over the years. You're probably the most well sought after public speaker in the Catholic world and beyond in this area. But some people say that, you know, this is the biggest fear they have, and I think that, you know, it's a good idea to go and sort of face those fears a little bit, because I mean,
yeah, and you know, talking to Nicole Zamora at the Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, I mean, they're such kind, good people. They're there to help you. You know, they're not trying to twist your arm or push you into something or anything. They're not car salesmen. They're just there to help you.
Yeah, it's funny too, because you always think about, like, the first time I talked to her on the phone, and anybody from that office, it's like you expect the old sort of trope of a mortician in your head, or somebody who works for a cemetery, going to be very like dour, and like, she's like, hey, how are you? It's like, you realize right away, like, those are all things that you learn from as a kid by watching cartoons or whatever.
It's weird that I mean, my dad told me somewhere way back in Portland history, like, probably my great 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 grandfather was an undertaker, you know, or whatever, a mortician, whatever the word. I think
it was undertaker back then.
Back then it was. Yeah. I mean, that's what they called him.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's it. That's interesting, or that's strange, or it's different, or, you know, but it's like all occupations throughout history. There are many people that wouldn't want to have that occupation, but boy, is it necessary!
It's funny too.
It's what a tough job to.
Oh yeah,
to be meeting people who are grieving.
I just
think that's really, really hard. And I do know from when my mom died, when my dad died, when my brother died, how difficult it was for the family, and how people would say, I don't think Mom would have liked that, you know, and you know,
right.
Okay, well, what do you think Mom would have liked? You know, and yeah. It never got ugly, but it just was, some things weren't all tied up in a neat little bow.
Yeah. And it's funny because morticians, or not morticians, but the undertakers in like the old spaghetti westerns and the Clint Eastwood movie stuff, it was always the guy who didn't have any lines, but like yeah. stood always in the background.
Yeah, right.
You know, so the idea of it is always so, it's, I think, ingrained in culture to be this thing you want to avoid. But in reality, I mean, like you said, like people always have their ideas about what Mom would have wanted.
We've had terms like the Grim Reaper.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's not something. In our Catholic faith, it's truly a passing. It's a stage. It's we were taught from a very young age. This is very transitory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blip in time. You know, you start reading about the dinosaurs and how long ago they lived and all that, and you mm-hmm. go, wow, yeah. If you know, you live to the ripe old age of 90 or something, you know, and you've beaten the odds of whatever mm-hmm. the odds were, you know.
I think the odds are like 78.
Yeah, and what's it mean? So you live to 90.
Right.
You know, or you live to 12 or
right.
whatever it is. That's God's decision, not ours.
Mm-hmm. And you did live, so this sort of service needs to be taken Absolutely. Care of. And really, I mean, I would love it if you know, I should do this sort of thing even now. I mean, I'm only in my 40s, but you know, it's one of those, I got three kids, so it's one of those things where really should lay things out. And it's never, and I think a lot of people think too that like it's like a flirtation with the afterlife. If you're like, if I set it up now, I don't know if I want to get that, put that out there in the world. And it's like, it's out there no matter whether you get prepared or not.
And they're good people, and they're just there to help. And just you know, participate. Go make an appointment and just go talk with them. And you know, it's always been interesting to me. We have a cemetery right behind the pastoral center here.
We do,
and
I've walked there many times.
And it's not as a tourist, not as a gawker, but there's a connection when you walk through there, and you see some of the headstones
mm-hmm.
going back. Early 1800s,
yeah,
and or that's when they were born, at least, mm-hmm. you know, and because most of them weren't here in early 1800s, but they were born somewhere in Ireland. We see a lot of that Ireland,
yeah, a lot of Irish names,
and maybe they died in 1870 or something. Maybe they came out in the gold rush in 49 or, mm-hmm. or you know that kind of thing, and then you'll see, you know. The father, the mother, an infant daughter, or a, mm-hmm. you know, and you just you think how hard it must have been, and you see their ages, and you feel this connection mm-hmm. to these people you've never met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shared human thing that we all have to deal with.
And you offer a prayer for them, you mm-hmm. know, and for them and for their descendants, because their descendants are somewhere right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that headstone you walk past is somebody's great grandmother or grandfather. Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I always used to say that I was trying to make the best out of my hyphen, which is the thing in the middle between the two dates on your headstone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, your whole life, if you think about it, is encapsulated in that hyphen, you know, 19 whatever to 2000 whatever. Right. That's that little bit in between is what you get.
That's
so
right.
You got to make the best out of that, because you know, you don't know how long that hyphen's going to go for.
Yeah, now you see somebody 1842, and you go, well, that's ancient history. They're long gone, and blah blah blah. You know, and you go, no, when they were alive, that was all there was.
Mm-hmm.
That was cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did was cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
They had a wagon with a horse. Wow.
I always find it interesting when you look up things on, there's certain little, you know, YouTube rabbit holes you can go down, and one of them is like things that happen historically at the same time, like in 18 whatever, you know, we learned about like the gold rush was going on, but you know, across the world in like Egypt, this thing you learned about that you thought was happening, you know.
Right.
1,000 years ago was actually then, you know, and like mammoths were around at the same time as like. I forget what it was, like something like with the First World Fair or something like that. Like there were still mammoths around, you know, things like that. I find so interesting. And it's like, you look at that, like the headstones, and it's like, you know, 18, you know, whatever, this person died, you're like, this is the same year that the Gettysburg Address mm-hmm. was given, or when Lincoln died, or when this person was president, or what have you. And it's just, you think about, like, we always think of history as these individual events, when in reality, I mean, it was like it is today. I mean, people are going to look back on it and be like, you know, some sports buff is going to be like, oh, you know, Brady won the Super Bowl when he was in his 40s. Like, that was the same time as coronavirus. Like, right. You know, it's like, exactly. It's like you don't think about these things as being congruent.
The one that's always struck me is right here in the continental United States, when the American Revolution was going on, was when Father Serra was founding his missions.
Oh, wow.
I don't even think of – I think of Father Serra kind of as way back.
Yeah.
You know, like preceding the American Revolution. Of course, at the time of the American Revolution, we're talking about 13 states, not 50.
Right,
and
yeah.
Of course, when I was growing up, it was 48.
Right.
48 states. Alaska wasn't in. Hawaii wasn't in when I was born.
Right.
And we grew up with, and now it's the lower 48. Mm-hmm. Or the continental.
Continental 48, states. Yeah.
But I've always been fascinated. Father Serra was establishing his missions, coming up from Mexico, but he was a Spaniard, coming up from Mexico at the same time, 3,000 miles away, and he couldn't watch it on TV,
right.
The American Revolution was going on.
Right.
And nobody back there, I mean, Lewis and Clark hadn't come out here.
There's no Manifest Destiny or anything.
Nobody knew anything about California, and, you know, it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. One funny one that I saw was when Heinz 50, it was A1 sauce was established in, like, the middle of the Civil War, and it was somebody. I remember the thing I saw was like, while the war was going on and the country was being torn apart, somebody decided steak sauce was a good idea. But yeah, it is funny though how there's so many things that run that you don't realize. You learn. I think it's because we learn about these things in history courses in high school and college as individual events. And then you memorize the dates and what have you, and you don't think about the dates as they happen, you know. Because there was in America we just tend to compartmentalize, like, oh, the Vietnam War was right. The Vietnam War. It's like, well, a lot of stuff also happened during the Vietnam War, like right. You know, things like sure. That. So, yeah, I find that kind of thing interesting, and definitely going to a local cemetery will jar that out of you.
Well, again, let me give you those the dates again. I may have to do this. Open house weekend, October 2nd, St. Joseph's in Woodland from 10 to 4. That's at 860 West Street in Woodland. October 3rd, Holy Cross up in the beautiful town of Colusa from 10 to 4. And that is at 1741 Westcott Road in Colusa. But if you find Colusa, you're going to be able to find the cemetery.
Great town.
Not big of a town. It's a beautiful town.
Yeah.
I love that town. Then also... October 2nd and 3rd at All Souls Cemetery in Vallejo at 550 Glen Cove Road. The phone number there is 707-644-5209. And October 2nd and 3rd at St. Mary's Cemetery, 6509 Fruit Ridge Road here in Sacramento. And also at Calvary Cemetery and Funeral Center, Calvary at 7101 Verner Avenue in Citrus Heights. Call 916-452-4831. All of them are 10 to 4 p.m.
So if they go to Colusa, I love this talent that you have. What's Burger Place? They get a burger up there.
It's if you come right across, if you come right down. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it. I've got a picture. It looks like Riches or something.
Okay.
It's on the, if you get on Highway 20 and you're going to head off to Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the right hand side of the road. There's a big old building across the street. It looks like an old high school.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I'm not sure. It's probably a county building or something. And yeah, great burgers.
I don't know if those listening know this, but Bob has a few savant things about him, and one of them is he knows every burger place in the small towns in California.
In the world, really.
Yeah, I mean, because I thought about maybe going to Oregon one day, and he was like, okay, on the way up, here's where you stop.
Here's where you stop.
All these small, because you like to travel the small towns and get the burgers.
Stop at the high-low.
The high-low?
The high-low. H-I dash. The hyphen, you worried about hyphen?
The hyphen, yeah.
H-I hyphen L-O.
I went to the Jolly Burger in, it's outside, it's in, I think it's in Nevada still, maybe California, up by where my in-laws live, up in like Gardnerville area. Mm. There's a Jolly Burger up there, a little walk-up kind of place. Yeah. It's on the way to Bodie. So we went to Bodie. Wow. Yeah. So it's way up there in Nevada, and I forget the name of it. What the name of the town?
It wasn't in Bridgeport, was it?
Bridgeport.
Sure.
There it is.
California.
See? Oh, is it Bridgeport, California?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a couple of spots where you kind of go in and out.
Yeah, you do. On 395.
Yeah. So, yeah, we went to Jolly, and I remember thinking about I was like, this is the kind of place Bob would know about for sure.
Ashland, Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
Big Al's.
Were you a Bob's Big Boy? Did you like Bob's Big Boy?
Not especially.
No?
Yeah.
I've only been there one time. The one in, is it Barstow? There's still one?
Barstow, I think there's one, yeah. With the great, he's got the burger up on his hand.
Yeah.
Palm up.
Well, I asked that because it's one of those places where it used to be, I mean, historically, you look back, it was like a big one. Everybody knew Bob's Big Boy, but you never see him anymore. It was like almost like they were like this juggernaut of burger place that went, and then it went away, and it's kind of like a, you know, like a Blockbuster now. It's like if you see one, you're like, whoa, Blockbuster, you know. So it's kind of, but I remember I went there and ate there, and it was just kind of like, okay, it's a burger. Like I didn't know if maybe I had missed the boat on it or what.
The one that's taken over the world, of course, is In-N-Out.
Of course.
I remember when I was. I was doing a show for the Catholic Channel,
mm-hmm.
but we did it from Sacramento, even though it originated from New York.
Yeah,
modern technology, and the program director was coming out just to, you know, pay us a visit, et cetera. And he says, "I want to know where the nearest In-N-Out is." It's like even in New York.
Oh yeah,
they knew about it. They don't have them there.
No,
there's just strictly a West Coast deal, but that's. That's what they all want.
They have White Castle.
The next White Castle.
Yeah, they have White Castle. We don't.
My dad told me all about White Castles in Minnesota. Little tiny burgers.
Yeah, I went there in Ohio.
You can buy them in the grocery store, frozen.
Yeah, and they're actually not much different. They taste pretty well. I mean, if you've never been to White Castle and you buy the frozen ones, they're actually, it's not that different. They're pretty much the same. I remember going to Ohio and I got the big 20 bag of them, and that's the danger of them. They're like one bite burgers.
Yeah, they are.
And the next, you kind of eat them like fries. You reach in the bag and start eating them. The next thing you know, the bag's empty, and you know that you've made a horrible decision because you've basically just eaten like six real burgers.
Yeah.
Then there's the new one in Roseville. That's the, it is, I think it's also a Southern California Shake Shack.
Yeah, Shake.
They opened one in Roseville. I went. With my son, we went there one day. We just happened to be, it was one of those hot days.
Okay, I think Shake Shack originated in New York City.
Is it New York? Okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of Fat Burger. I think Fat Burger is what I'm thinking of. Anyway, but yeah, we went to Shake Shack, and one of those days where it was hot, and we decided to walk around the mall because it was air conditioned, and I forgot it was there. So we went in there. It wasn't bad. It's pretty good, you know. In-N-Out is kind of the best, though.
You have to say grace before you eat them.
Of course.
Even in a public restaurant. See, that's the big thing. You know, Jesus says, go into your closet and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Like your closet and pray. Don't be beating your chest and I'm so holy and all that. And yet, you know, there you are. You're sitting down in a restaurant. And, you know, we'll make the sign of the cross and not be showy, not be, oh, we're so holy. But, and you know, you don't, if you're in mixed company, you don't want to make somebody uncomfortable. You don't want to, you know, it's a push-pull. But there's nothing the matter with a little witnessing as long as it's, I still remember, there was in my sports writing days, which have returned, but long ago, school I was covering, I'd hired a new women's basketball coach. You know, and traditionally you'll get together and have lunch with a new coach and learn about him and write a story. And so we went downtown and both ordered a burger. I think she had a BLT and I ordered a burger. And they bring the burger and it's sloppy. It's got avocado falling out of it and Thousand Island and all that. And I reached down and I'm putting it in my face, and I look over, and she has her head bowed, her hands folded in prayer. I was humiliated.
I always tell my kids when they do that, they're like, oh, those bites didn't count. You don't get those bites back now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there's a, yeah, it's, Some food you want to pray over more. Some burgers when you get them, you look at them and you might want to pray a little more on them.
Indeed. Well, let me also highly recommend the current Catholic Herald. It's a great piece about Dorothy Day by Monsignor James Murphy. Part of his 2-part series on Dorothy Day. And there you actually get a wonderful photograph of her. You actually get to see what Dorothy Day is. She was almost this mythical person, if you will. What was Dorothy Day's biggest sin? The answer might surprise you. And then the subhead is Dorothy Day was a tough cookie. I believe that. A wonderful, wonderful profile by Monsignor James Murphy on the back page. The inside back page, and then in just one page in the front side, or two pages in, is the Bishop Soto's column, all about marriage, and really, really good stuff from Bishop Soto as well. So there are two great columns for everybody to read here from in the latest Catholic Herald, the September-October issue. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the word.